Welcome to the SpinXs podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about the importance of feedback in practice. I'm going to kind of play moderator and maybe contrarian on purpose, devil's advocate a bit. But Jason, to lead it off, why is feedback important?
Well, if you don't have feedback, you're just exercising. It's, I think, one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember which famous golf coach was. Maybe you guys remember, but
AMG says that a lot.
Yeah, it's from another old legend, but I should have Googled that before, but I'll quick chat GBT it while I'm not talking next. It's important, right? And the amount of times way back in the day when I first was on Instagram, there was a guy and I asked him if he'd be okay if I posted something on social media, and I was videotaping my swing. I was working on my game and I asked him, I said, what are you working on? And he's like, I'm working on this, this, and this. I was like, okay, cool. I said, how's it going? He says, it's great. And you could see he's not doing any of those things. It's how do you, he's not videotaping it, right? And he's not hitting good golf shots either. This is like, you know, if you're feeling a feel and you're hitting great golf shots, perfect. Enjoy it. Go, you know, Philly Brews.
You can tell that we're old because we still say videotaping.
Yes.
What are the young kids calling it now? I don't even know.
Recording, I think. But anyway, yeah, video is one of the easiest forms of feedback. I will say that. Tyson.
Yeah, I think in today's world, I think we have more feedback at our fingertips than we've ever had before, just as an industry. There's a lot of forms of feedback, you know, with all the launch monitors, the video, all of the AI apps. Obviously, Eric, you have the Gear system, which is an amazing feedback system. You know, I think what you learn, and again, I think when I first started coaching and learned the ball flight laws and bought my first radar, it's like, man, I'm going to go change the world. Mm-hmm. Then you start giving golf lessons with it and they're terrible just because you know what sort of the ball flight laws you would like them to be. Doesn't mean you can help people change them. There's a big difference between using the feedback and knowing how to use the feedback or knowing how to use the tools. And I think that's a massively important aspect of any type of feedback.
And we'll get into it later, but using the feedback in a way that it's not lying to you and kind of confirming, oh, I think I'm doing the right changes, but actually you're not. You're just putting up better numbers or something like that on whatever feedback you're using.
Yeah. And I think I said this in another episode where a guy came in and he was like, oh, I really want to hit a draw. I was like, okay, perfect. And I was like, but you have to be careful. How you find a way to hit a draw is not always a good thing. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, here, just step back for a second. I hit a shot and it drew on the screen and the launch monitor said I was, you know, 3 or 4 degrees into out and the face is, you know, 1 or 2 degrees close to that. So how'd that swing look? He goes, I looked really bad. I said, how often do you think I could repeat a swing like that? And he's like, probably not that often. I said, but I hit a draw. And if I were to like keep hitting that same shot at some point, yeah, maybe if I hit 100,000 shots like that, I could maybe repeat it, but there'd still be that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shot a round that are just round killers because that's a bad pattern to have. But the launch monitor is telling me I'm hitting it. The ball flight's telling me I'm hitting a draw, but it's just a bad pattern. And that's where, again, if you don't have another form of feedback, because sometimes, and this is I think where we're going with it, Eric, is the feedback can lie to you. Right. And that's where you got to be aware of you're still making a good pattern inside your swing.
It can lie. And we'll get to that probably later in this episode. But Tyson, ball flight and how you contact the ball on the club face are two of the easiest forms of feedback.
I mean, absolutely. Let's think about it. How did the guys before all of our technology, how did they get better? Right. They used the flight of the golf ball and they used where they hit the ball on the face as feedback. Again, if the recreational golfer out there who maybe can't afford a launch monitor doesn't want to dive down the rabbit hole of sort of taking their video because they don't know what they're looking at. If you want some feedback, well, let's use what the golf ball is doing in the air and let's use where you're contacting the ball on the face. Because if you're hitting the ball way off the toe or way inside the heel, obviously something's not going on right in your golf swing. We want to hit it out of the middle. If your ball's not starting where you want it to, your face is not where you want it to be. Let's start with what is the ball doing? It's a part of feedback. And let's start with where we're hitting it on the face. I think massively important.
Yeah. And how much does it cost to find that feedback? $12,
yeah,
can of foot spray, and then another $12 for an alignment stick. You know, go to Home Depot, buy a cheap driveway marker, walk out 12, 13 feet in front of you, stick it down there, stand back behind your golf ball, go, is that down my target line? Yeah. Which side of that alignment stick is the ball starting? That's more or less where your face is pointing. And then from there, you're going to get your ball flight laws. Is the ball curving left of that or curving right of that? It's your face to path. or where you're striking on the club face. The amount of time that I've had golfers go like, I don't know where I'm hitting on the face. I understand that it's like you, maybe you don't feel it just yet because you don't hit enough golf balls, but there's no reason that you can't spray the face. You don't need a quad.
Not wrong. You're not wrong.
And some game improvement clubs make that difficult to feel.
Oh yeah, true. I guess. Yeah, I got to give. Yeah. And so more reason to get that foot spray and strike it and go, okay, that is the heel. All right. I can feel that a little bit. Even if it's minor, you're going to get, where's your tendency, right? Because this first time I ever argued with somebody on social media was this guy, and he hit this big push out to the right, and he's like, oh, no wonder I sliced this one. My face is really open at, you know, last parallel. And I'm like, no, actually, that's not that bad there. You just struck it so far to the toe. And he goes, no, a toe creates gear effect. That would have drawn it back. And I said, oh, but there's a diminishing return on that. You struck this, and you could see it in the video. The face just goes bloop and just opens up. I said, you hit it too far to toe. Your tendency is probably to hit the ball on the toe, and for most of the time, that helps you draw the golf ball back. But on that in particular shot, you hit it too far to the toe, and that's why you hit that push. And he's like, no, that's not true. I was like,
all right.
It's only science. Like, I'm not arguing with you that you did or didn't. Yeah. I mean, here's the video. You can see the whole face just like open up.
Yeah.
And then the ball went to the right. That's just like,
I had a student years ago come to me saying, I either hook it or it just goes right, way right, just blocks way right with my hybrids and my three woods. I'm like, okay, let me put four dots on this hybrid.
Yeah.
And he was hitting at 25 millimeters, which is a full inch out toward the toe. It's like, okay, yeah, when it's way out on the toe, a little bit farther than that, you just hit the pushy right weak thing, and when you catch it an inch out on the toe, it
feels flush to you.
Yeah, and it felt good to him, so he was like, oh, okay. And so just making people aware of stuff is often enough to make them, the form of feedback is where you hit it on the face. Now, as you told with your story, it can lie to you. You can make a terrible swing and kind of figure out how to draw the ball that, again, I've said this story, might work with a driver, but it's terrible with a 7-iron. You could tip back and like try to send your path way to the right. Might work with a driver on the driving range. You could be like, oh, I'm using the ball as feedback. But it can lie to you. It can be a terrible way to hit a draw. But you can be like, I learned to hit a draw today. Eh, not really.
Yes.
Not the right way.
And I'll just say to a lot of people, you have to have the intention of being aware of where you're hitting it on the face. Everyone's so consumed by positions or what something looks like. And how about going hitting a bucket of balls and your only intention is, I want to know where I hit each ball on the face. I think one range session,
love it.
You then will know what a toe shot feels like, what a heel shot feels like, high and low on the face. It doesn't take that long if you actually focus on, well, what am I actually doing here? And, you know, sometimes it's even like, hey, why don't you just clean the club face, get your towel wet and clean it, and you'll see some marks where you're hitting the ball. Again, a little bit of awareness goes a long way for people.
You both can hit a shank on command.
On command.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just try to hit the outside of the golf ball.
That's exactly right.
Right? With the sweet spot, and that puts the hosel into the ball. It's funny how many people can't do that, or they're like, why would I ever want to do that? Well, just learn to control where the club face hits the ball. What are some other forms of feedback then? We have some devices and some things that we can use. Video and mirrors, we'll kind of, honestly, let's not even talk about video and mirrors. Like, let's just assume that that's a form of feedback. If you set your camera up in the right place, if you have a mirror, that's a form of feedback. I like mirrors for certain things because it's instant feedback. Mm-hmm. You can move around and see instantly what's happening. The problem with video cameras is, if there is one, that you make a swing and then you go back and you hit stop and then you trim and you slide the thing around, and by then it's been 15 seconds and you kind of forgot what it felt like to do that thing that you're seeing now in the video. But it does show you what you did.
Yeah. And the angles have to be right.
Yeah.
The angles have to be good.
Correct.
Even if they aren't perfect, as long as they're the same all the time, at least you can compare this swing to one you made 2 months ago.
100%.
So even if you aren't perfect, just try to be consistent.
This episode of the Spin Axis podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move, the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, Smart to Move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them, because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing, start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
So some other forms of feedback. Hack Motion, the previous sponsor of the show, is awesome because it's feedback. It's pretty quick. It's almost right after. You can turn on the Halo Angel mode or the vibration mode. That can help with transition too. Maybe you're not going to feel the vibration in transition, but you can immediately look at your graph or get the red, yellow, green things on the screen.
For sure. And again, same thing. It doesn't necessarily need to be perfect to what the graph is in, let's say, the in quotations, perfect swing for hack motion. It just needs to be for you. What do you feel when you hit a good golf shot? And what is your graph to make sure that you get into those numbers in on repeat?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, force plates are a form of feedback. And the three of us, you know, use force plates. Now, you have to have maybe a little bit deeper understanding of what the heck you're looking at, because it does get confusing for not only golfers, but even golf coaches if you don't use them enough. But force plates are another form of feedback. The Sportsbox AI, the 3D app that you can use now, again, there's new versions of this stuff coming out literally every day of, you know, AI helping people understand their golf swing a little bit. I think going back for just the recreational golfer, let's start with an understanding of some simple ball flight rules, right? Ball flight laws, you know, face to path. What does that do to the golf ball? I think if you start with that, you can start to discover good feedback. Every single shot is a chance for some feedback, even a bad shot. Let's understand what's happening.
Yeah. And I would say another one, and this is a little bit tricky one, but your divot pattern can help with some form of feedback. And it can go a little bit of both ways where it is good, but also can lie to you. Because I've had students that are like, oh man, I can't take a divot. And I'm like, okay, but where are you hitting on the face? And they're like, I made it really good. I'm like, okay, perfect. So you're a bit of a picker, right? And again, you could have them on a launch monitor and they might be 3 degrees down, let's say with a 7 iron, but they just pick the ball and then they're gone, right? There's no divot. And then you get guys that are just digging it down and it's like, oh, I made this great divot. And it's like, yeah, but you're half an inch behind the golf ball. And what I would say is if you're looking for your divot pattern, as I want to be, it's more important that where your low point is than it is like, did you make a deep divot? You know what I mean? Are you getting good ball first contact? And then from there, it's like, okay, if you struggle with some longer irons, then yeah, I would love for maybe if you could start, you know, brushing the ground, starting to get that divot down. But for most golfers, you don't have to make this perfect beaver pellet to feel like you're making great contact and lowering your scores. That's not true. And we know that now.
Yeah, I love those. What about just simple alignment sticks that are stuck in the ground and you're trying to avoid them? How do you guys feel about people using that as a piece of feedback for, you know, maybe not dumping the club under or not coming way over the top, just simple alignment sticks?
I'm very reluctant on the ones where you have to swing over the alignment stick that's behind you, because I've seen so many Instagram videos and stuff of someone's driver shaft hitting the top of that stick.
Yes.
And the head just flopping off. But I love it on the follow through side where you either swing to the right of it or to the left of it, depending on which kind of pattern you're looking to make. You can also put alignment sticks down at your feet. That's absolutely a form of feedback. Am I aligned where I think I'm aligned? Tough to get that one wrong.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of mousetrap drills, but in all of them, I always say you got to start slow and air swings. And then if you can, foam balls and then real balls, because if you try and rip a full swing with an alignment stick in the way where you normally swing, you're going to smash into that. You know, for most golfers, you're not miss it, and they're just going to damage your club.
Yeah. I think there was just a video of, you know, Alex Noren with two alignment sticks, almost like a mini plane board, where he's really just working on keeping the club on top of those sticks. Yeah. Like for most golfers, please don't do that and try to hit balls because you are snapping your golf club or breaking the alignment stick and shattering it. But to your point, Eric, you watch the guys on tour, they always have a stick on the ground, whether it's for alignment or ball position. You know, again, the feedback right there to make sure the ball is where you think it is in your stance.
Yeah. So just like the ball flight can lie, launch monitors can lie.
Absolutely.
I can make swings where it looks like, oh, I'm hitting 3 down, I'm hitting 3 degrees to the right, but the swing is still not what I want it to be, because I can figure out a way to kind of make the numbers look good, and the ball flight kind of looks good most of the time, but it's not the swing I'm trying to make. You can do that. So even launch monitors can lie. There are some other forms of feedback out there, like training aids. I've long kind of classified training aids into like 2 or 3 categories. There are training aids that force you to do something, and that's a form of feedback. It kind of makes you do it. I don't love those because you can't do it wrong and your body might almost fight against them. Okay. Like I use a tube over the people's trail elbow a lot to make them turn and show them how much they are underusing their body. But I don't people will be like, oh, I should get a tube band. I'll be like, no, this is more of a proof of concept. It's not a training aid that you should use, because you can try to bend your arm and it's not going to bend.
Right.
And so you try to bend your arm, which is what you do now, and it's not going to let you. As soon as you take it off, your arm's just going to bend like crazy. So I don't love that kind of training aid much. It's great for showing a proof of concept, but it's not good for actual feedback. Then there are training aids that kind of alert you if you go wrong or if you do it right. Those tend to be like the better, like a HackMotion can do both. Those tend to be the training aids where I like them a little bit more. The swing over or under the sticks. If you hit the stick, it alerted you that you did it maybe wrong. And if you miss the stick, it says, oh, you did it right to some degree. Training aids of all kinds are feedback devices.
For sure.
Yeah. And the device that you need, no matter what it is, so if you got the tube on or you got the alignment sticks there, you need to be retaining the feel that the training aid is giving you. And that's like you mentioned, when it's like, oh, if I put on this tube and I just make some swings, and it's like, okay, great, I did my job, I made some swings with the tube on, and then you just remove it and you didn't grasp any of the feel that you had from the tube, you did nothing, right? You don't even do that.
Yeah,
I tell my students, I'll give them two swings, I'll record the first two, I'll record down the line and face on, then I give them a freebie one to say, okay, I'm not recording this one, just feel what the tube is making you do. And then we take it off and I say, okay, I'm going to record your fourth swing now. And I want it to look exactly like as if you have an invisible tube on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And exactly. It's never that close, but it's usually a lot better.
Yeah. And I'll tell people when I'm doing that, it's like your job as the player is you need to feel from your toes to your ears. What is this forcing me to do? Like you need to feel everything that this is forcing your body to do. That is what your job is as the player.
It's good. I like that.
When we use that device, that is a feedback loop that, maybe you put a tube on and the guy feels it in his right butt cheek. The next guy might feel it in his left shoulder. Who knows, right? But that's what we want.
Yeah.
And so I would say, as we're having this discussion, another form of feedback is the conversations we have with players during the lesson and
literal
what
feedback.
The player is sensing. And it's literal feedback, right? Like between you and the player, as us as a coach, is massively important.
Yeah. And it's the constant feedback.
Yeah.
And the hard part, I think, for a coach, like I had a couple lessons today where it's like, you also got to give them some time to think about stuff. You can't every single swing be like, that was good. That was bad. That was good. That was bad.
That's right.
Because then they aren't going to be able to go like, oh, was it good? Was it bad? Then they don't have feedback from themselves. They don't have like, did I do that properly?
Yes.
That is also good or bad feedback.
A long time ago, one of the first lessons I shadowed was a guy was teaching another guy to do a certain thing. It doesn't matter what it was. And the guy was doing it pretty good. You know, like most of the swings were good and the shots were better and the guy was getting it. And then the guy totally flubbed one. And the instructor goes, okay, so what are you going to do on the next swing? And the guy goes, the same thing. He goes, yep,
love that.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Like, you don't go searching for something else. We're doing this right now. You're going to hit some bad shots. You're going to hit some good shots. Just keep doing the same thing. Bad swings make good shots. Good swings make bad shots. When you're learning something new, just keep doing that.
Do the drills.
The shots will overall get a little bit better. The results will get a little bit better, but just keep doing the same thing. Don't go, oh, what did I do on that one? Oh, what did I do on that one now? Oh, what did I do on that one now? That's a road to misery.
You never develop any sort of pattern if you're trying to change every single swing, right?
No, I'm just glad I don't have to worry about what my eyebrows are feeling because they're above my ears.
All right. I'll have to go higher, I guess.
To your toes to hairline.
Toes to your hairline. I like it.
Bald people, I don't know what they do.
That's right. Toes to forehead, because the forehead just goes forever.
Yeah. I have a five head, I'm told.
Fantastic.
Awesome. I love that conversation. Again, I think feedback for people, there's so many sources. Give us feedback. Give it to us. We want it. We love doing these shows. As always, share this with your friends. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. And reach out. Give us that feedback on social media at The Spin Access. And you can find us online at thespinaccess.com.
Take care.